Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Hello, Weston.
What's up?
Happy almost 4th.
I know, 4th of July. Happy birthday, America.
Yes, America.
Yes, sir.
Some good golf last week. We couldn't find time to get together last week, so we'll recap. Basically, Keegan Bradley goes to his home area. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it, but I guess because Amanda Baliones, it's not Baliones anymore, it's whatever her married name is, said, you know, how does it feel to win in your hometown? And she just got beat up because that's what people do. It's like, no, it's his home area. New England is like they all claim each other. But Keegan wins. In another week where it's just Torch City.
Yep.
Just birdies galore. But yeah, he wins. He's been playing pretty good. He actually played pretty good this week as well. Mm. Where our man, and I will admit where I'm wrong. I said I did not think Ricky would get back in the winner's circle. He proved me wrong.
Yeah,
and I was actually rooting for it yesterday.
Who wasn't?
all the fan base was. Even though you couldn't see it live, and so you had to like stay away from, if you're actually going to watch it on TV, you had to stay away from anything else, or you watched it earlier on streaming down your phone or whatever.
Yep.
But yeah, Ricky gets a win, first time in 4 years. And he looked like, because he's had the 54 hole, obviously he had the 54 hole lead in the US Open and didn't close it out. And so, and he's been up close and just hasn't been able to find that final round.
Yeah.
And coming out strong, he came out strong, was 3 under through 7 holes. So you're like, oh, he's just going to run away with it. Because Pendrith was not doing anything. Hadwin was just kind of there, not doing much. But then he waited from the hole number 7 with some great up and downs and some shaky shots and some shaky putts until he just gets a good break with it not rolling into the water on 18 and then stuffs it and then just absolutely goes. Well, it's actually fitting. Detroit Block City on his tee shot in the playoff, but ends up in a good spot, gets the drop away from casual water. And then hits a shot up there and does what the other two players, Morikawa and Hadwin, can't do, and rolls it in for the win. And his reaction was pretty epic. It wasn't like, you know, just a big, his caddy was pumped.
More excited. Yeah.
But he was just like, oh, just sat there and went, oh yeah. Okay. Finally.
Yeah. To him, it was like he got a huge monkey off his back. Yeah. Right. And some golfers go through that stretch, and he's just a great example of perseverance and not giving up and just grinding and grinding. And he was in a pretty dark place to where, you know, his status and his card were in jeopardy, but he just kept doing what was right. He did get back with Butch, and some have attributed that with his recent success working with his longtime instructor.
Me is one of them. Right. Yep. And I thought that it, you know, when he left him, that it would be, not necessarily a good thing. So
yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, everybody's stoked, and obviously the headline that was more prominent than Ricky actually winning was the putter he used to do it.
Yeah, which we talked about this, and I because Keegan won with the same putter last week.
Yep.
And then Wyndham Clark won at the U.S. Open. But I think that was there one other tournament in between those?
No. I don't think so.
I mean, I'm just pulling up the schedule because I want to say it's at least three out of the last 4 weeks.
I want to say three out of three.
That's happened. Which is kind of nuts.
It is kind of nuts. I would say it's not nuts, but for how unique the putter is, I would say it is
the last 3 weeks. Nuts. Yes. Yep. And obviously, so, Wyndham's and Ricky's are, besides a little bit of lie change, yeah, are the exact same.
Identical. Yeah. And Keegan's being different, but still the same putter model. And that's actually sparked Callaway to re-release the Jailbird.
Yes, which is a good move on their part, right? Because they saw like used ones going for like $400-$500.
Oh, I'm like, why?
Come on, people! It's not the putter that did this.
Yeah, no, it's the players. But that's how the golf economy works. When somebody does something, it's clearly the product, not the person.
Yeah. So it was, like I said, kind of a crazy coincidence that it happened. But you got three guys on the up that all using the same putter and all just fell in mm-hmm. line.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because Keegan, after he won last week, I guess he took the trophy that was supposed to be the one that's on display. Yeah. And then he posted it. I think it was a clip from The Departed. He's like, "You want it? You know where I'm at."
I'll say this straight face to anybody. I feel like Keegan Bradley is hands down the most athletically gifted golfer on the PGA Tour.
You need to explain yourself. Is it just because of the position that he's at when he makes his move?
The dude is like, he's as big as me, 6'3", and he's playing with golf clubs for a guy who's 5'6", and he flat out plays golf well. And to me, I'm like, you have to be amazing to do something like that. No, nobody can take that away from him. It is
what it is.
But yeah, I have my own controversial opinions, which would be play clubs that put you in a better biomechanic position, and I think you'd win twice as many tournaments because you're just that gifted. So, but that's the controversy right there for me, at least.
For you,
I do want to mention a couple of interesting Utah stories that did make some headlines. Zach Blair last week, his tournament finish, T2, was phenomenal, but it was kind of a big deal for him because they only gave him a certain amount of starts. I think it was like 28 or something. I
mean, it helped him out a lot.
Oh, it's huge. He had to win enough FedEx points to be within the top 125 to maintain his tour card from his medical exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, he has like 12 more tournaments to get like a T30 or better, and or a couple of T40 finishes or something, and he has his card back, which is pretty crazy. And awesome.
Yeah, it's I mean, crazy deal for sure. Like I said, it was a huge week for him to get that done. And then this week was Mr. Peter Quest. Monday qualifies. He's in a 4-for-3 playoff, but then it finds out that the guy that he's in a playoff with calls it on himself, guys. It's like, I've got 15. I mean, how do you got a feel for that guy.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Quest but gets in and makes the most of it.
He golfed his ball. Yeah. So he's Monday qualifying. He has some temporary status on the nationwide.
But he's out here. No, did you not? Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't. Bypassed it. Yes.
Ooh,
he bypassed
that's called
it.
Betting on yourself. That's
so that he can Monday qualify. And so, but I think if he would have made the putt on 18, he would have had special temporary status.
Yeah.
But here, now he's into the John Deere. So if he plays good this week, he can get it.
I heard that he just has to get tied for 76 or better to get the special exemption. Yeah. Which means just
like it said, it was, he just got to make the, if he makes the cut, then he's got it because then that gets him to the, whatever the magical number is.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. And I had a cool experience with Peter just, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, and he was out at the BYU facility practicing putting, hitting balls for some of the junior golfers. And I was like, dude, how do you divide up your practice? What is it? And he flat out, he couldn't figure out the number. He's like 70, no, 75, 80, probably like 85% short game. And
the chip shot that he hits on 17 was stupid good. Like
he's
crazy
so good. I barely ever see him hit balls. It's almost 100% always putting. I see him putting all the time. And yeah, I did get to see him. He was swinging at like 70% and he was humming at 180 ball speed, just cooking it.
It's not too bad.
No, he's so pure. And I think from a BYU standpoint in college, I didn't know this, but apparently he's the most winning collegiate golfer on the BYU team, like ever through all the years. He's won more tournaments than any other. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. It's heard, you know, and he's had kind of a slow start to his professional career, right? Didn't get off to a great start, which sometimes happens, but it's good to see him kind of just there and didn't seem like he was rattled at all being in that situation either, which
no. Well, and big. He led after round one. So to still finish in the top five after 4 days and not let himself get rattled. Like,
well, he has a great day on Saturday.
Yeah.
Shoot 7 under and get back up into that position again, which cool.
Yep.
It was good to see. Like I said, good to see local guys making good and doing some good things. So that was good. And then another thing for the books, Bernhard Langer, just keeps winning. So he passed up Hill Irwin for most Champions Tours victories with now 46. And also the oldest winner on the Champions Tour.
Flat out, oldest winner, 65.
65, almost 66. It's crazy.
I hope I'm amazing like him at anything at 65.
But he was talking, and I guess his caddy was saying that the average winner of that, the U.S. Senior Open, is 52. So he's, about 13 years older than that. That's just nuts.
Yeah. Well, and you think about that, like, he's doing that, and he still can go out and win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other guys are like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out. But he's, like, charging ahead. It's impressive.
It is impressive.
I think that senior career is almost more impressive than – because it's one thing to be, like, 40 years old and winning on the PGA Tour – because you still have a lot of athletic ability.
Yeah.
And even though there's young guns coming on, you have a lot of experience. But I feel like the gap between a 25-year-old and a 40-year-old is a lot smaller than a 60-year-old and a 50-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, that extra 10 years to me is like, whoa. And so for him to do that 15-year gap with some of those freshies out there, That's insane.
And like dominated.
Yeah.
Like he was a no doubter, basically. So
totally
crazy. That's a new equipment releases. And yep. You put it out a little while ago, and I think we may have talked about it a little bit. But the Apex MB. No, we didn't talk about. Did we talk about the MB and the CB? I don't know.
We might have mentioned it, but now it's kind of official.
Yeah. Miss. Bad.
Oh, huge.
It's not. Yeah.
Yep.
So, which is, I don't know. I don't know. Because,
well,
Callaway is usually not pretty good with their irons and their Apex line.
And the thing is you set them down. You don't look at the back of the iron. No. You're playing with the front, and you set them down, and they look good, just like any other Apex. But it's almost as though the lead designer was like out sick for a month, and the intern had to come in and figure it out. And then it went to print before he could come back and change it.
I guess we're going with that.
Yeah. So I personally have a little bit more of an eye for aesthetic and clean looks, and these just don't look clean at all.
Well, it's like they went, you know what? The X-Forge CB did really, really well. Let's just plaster that thing on there and then just mold some metal around it.
Honestly, it's like, we have this extra part that we overmade of, so why don't we use it in our next iron design? Save some money. That probably was the economic factor for creating the iron with the same plate in the back for both of those irons.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's a business decision, and I get that. But it's just one of those business decisions that was like a good on the books, but just not good.
Yeah. Not good. I don't think anything else. Well, I think we talked about it a little bit, that and a lot of the guys were using it this week that I noticed was the new TP, TaylorMade TP putters. Even on
the tour reserve.
That is there. And DJ was playing it in the live event.
Oh, really?
So he went away from, it wasn't a, it's definitely not a spider. It was the TP, which that we didn't put in here or didn't mention, but Taylor Gooch wins his third live event.
Oh yeah.
Heater. He is just stacking.
He's playing
bags of cash. Dude, and playing well. Like I said,
what has he made, like 20 million this year?
Oh,
jeez.
It's unreal. But they played it at Valderrama, which is a great course, tight course, fun to kind of watch them, right? Because there's the ability to score out there, but man, you couldn't get off line. Those cork trees were just banging balls all over the place when you got off the fairway. So, yep. But good to him. Let's go into Ricky's bag. Since a lot has changed since the last time we did a Ricky. Well, we've never done a Ricky what's in the back.
No, we never have. Never in our podcast history. It's been a while since these ones.
Yeah, yeah. 4 years. The Rocket Mortgage was had not even been played when he last won.
Well, very true.
It was the inaugural year, so it hadn't been even played yet since the last time he won. Which is bonkers. Well,
yep. And so it starts out top of the bag for Ricky. This is a great driver, by the way. So the Cobra Aerojet I've seen perform really well from a numbers perspective. Super clean design. He's got the LS in there with 9 degrees, and he's playing a Mitsubishi Diamana prototype 70X. Just great. Great driver. I feel like Cobra consistently has been putting out good drivers for probably the last 7 release cycles. Kudos to them.
Nah, I mean, it's the last 2, maybe 3. in my
maybe
opinion.
Three.
Yeah, they had a miss in there, and I'm trying to remember which one it was.
Was it the nine?
Oh, I can't remember. So this is the Aerojet. What was last year? Last year's was good, and the year before that was pretty good.
Last year's was the LTD X.
Yeah, and the one before that wasn't too bad. But I think they missed on the two before.
Yeah. But pretty decent, considering. And he's got the Aerojet 3-wood. And he's playing that at 13.5, so a strong 3-wood. With the Aldila Tour Green 75X. And 5-wood, an older, just previously released
Cobra. Speaking of LTD. Older, I'm going off book here, but Morikawa, who played well, was in the playoff. He had the Sim driver back in the bag and the Sim 3-wood.
Yeah, he went retro, which is
he's like, enough of this stealth crap. I'm going
Sim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was super retro. But yeah, finish off the 5-wood, the LTD X LS 17.5. So very standard stuff there. But he is playing the brand new Cobra King Tour Irons, which most people have received pretty well.
Yeah. Not bad at all. Like I said, kind of going away from a little bit where he was going to the super bladey iron before.
Yeah.
This one's got a little bit more forgiveness for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And it's pretty solid iron. I think a lot of people that look at it be like, is that an AP2? And no, it's a Cobra. But it does look a lot like it on how it's designed, but I'm sure it's plenty forgiving and also really good looking. The Cobra put a pretty thin top line on it, so it does not look chunky at all.
No, it's a solid iron. And like I say, they've done a little bit better with their irons in the last couple of iterations where they're making them a little bit better, a little bit more aesthetically pleasing from the top line too. So
yeah,
they did good there, but he's played this. I will give him this. This is probably mine and your least favorite shaft.
That's true.
The KBS Tour C taper.
Yeah.
He's played it for a long time.
He has. Well, in fact, he was playing it when he was playing good previously, and he won his last tournament. So he's certainly accustomed to it. I love KBS shafts. I build my putters stock with KBS putter shafts.
Yeah.
And I think their Tour V is phenomenal. There's a lot of shafts KBS makes that I like, but the C taper is not one of them.
No.
It's last on my list. It's just a harsh shaft. It's funny. You can hit that shaft, get great numbers, but it just doesn't feel right.
No, doesn't feel good at all.
So it's strange that way, but it's clearly working for Ricky. So no arguments there. And then people kind of got a little mixed up with his wedges, but Sherlock Holmes and Watson, we uncovered the true mystery behind it. People were listing his wedges at 54, 60, 58.
Yeah, 54, 56, 58. Yeah, and then we did some things, and on the right on his shaft there, it says 54, 52 degrees. So he obviously bends his, at least his 54 to a 52. So there's a 4 gap. And we're thinking that he probably does the 58 to a 60 to try to take off some of the offset in the higher lofted wedge. But maybe he just likes that 58 and doesn't mind that gapping in there. But he uses the KBS Tour 610 shafts in that. So, which are really good wedge shaft, not nearly as boardy. So he's getting a little bit more feel with those.
Yeah. I've actually tried that shaft, and it is a good shaft. It's, to me, it's not as smooth as a Dynamic Gold S400, but still a good shaft.
Yeah. Still a good shaft. And then the infamous putter that has won three weeks in a row.
Odyssey Versa Jailbird is making me think I need to design some type of jailbird style putter. Just kidding. No, I'll never do it. But apparently it's caught heat and it's gonna get re-released. I think they did like a pre-order. And so, yeah.
And so my question is because they all play, are they gonna release it with the Superstroke Tour 17-inch grip on it? Because they all play the
build.
Because they all play that, right? Because I think Egan also plays the bigger grip, similar
style.
So if they don't do that, then I don't know what they're doing.
And here's some putter talk for you. So here you have, and if you've seen Ricky's putter, he has a considerable amount of lead tape on the end of his putter, right? So what happens is when you have a putter that's longer than a standard length, if Ricky's standard putter length is like 34, that putter is like 37, maybe 38 inches long. It's long. So what happens is you have a very unique balance point that's starting to occur. It's already probably a decently heavy head, but he's put lead tape on the bottom. But then you put a 17-inch grip, which is not a light grip by any means. It's got to be over 100 grams, easy. Most grips range, the thinnest grips range around 50, and even some of your mid-side grips, like a Ping mid-cord grip, is like 85 grams. But then you put that thing on there, a 17-incher, it's got to be well over 100. So you're actually counterbalancing the putter, and you're creating what I would call a tank, a putter that is significantly overweight. And the only way you could actually swing the darn thing is if you counterbalance it so that it feels like the swing weight itself
is
somewhere in it's normal.
Normal.
That's the only way you can do it. Otherwise, it'll feel like a sledgehammer. See, the counterbalance is incredibly important, and that's why it's extra long and the grip is extra long. So there is science behind it. It's not just for fun.
No, there's method to his madness. Then he plays the TaylorMade TP5. Yeah, like I said, great week for him. Good to see him win. Like I said, even though I didn't think he would win, I can admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong.
Well, it's a good thing to be wrong about, because I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't like Ricky.
No.
And I think everybody wanted to see him back in the winner's circle, and kudos to him, because I love comeback stories, and this to me is the best.
It's one of the good ones for sure. Like I said, he'd been playing so good coming into it. It's, it was, still, I mean, there's guys that have done that, not won, but he was able to get it done and kind of overcome some loose swings and some not great strokes to get it done and come up in the clutch when he needed to and hit that approach shot on 18 and then to roll in the putt on 18 in the playoff against Morikawa and Hadwin, which they were talking. Hadwin hasn't won since. I gotta look this up because it was nuts, because Morikawa hasn't won in almost 2 years. Ricky was 4 years, and I think Hadwin was, I want to say it was longer than Ricky since he's won. Does that sound right? It doesn't sound right, because he hasn't won in a long time. But let's pull this up and see when the last time Hadwin was won. But I swear they said something basically that it was, I swear it was longer than Ricky's. Oh my gosh. No, I don't want to see Ricky's profile. I want to see Adam Hadwin's. What Adam Hadwin? He's only had one win. And that was 2016-2017 Valspar. So yeah, it's been longer for Adam Hadwin, which is crazy. Because he, wow. Nuts. So yeah, you would have had some. Though. You would have had somebody win. That would have been
any one of those would have been a relief victory for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe, you know, maybe Adam Hadwin just needs to get tackled again, and next time he can get over the hump. I don't know.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, sweet. We're going to make this one short and sweet, everyone. Enjoy your fourth. You'll blow stuff up.
And don't blow yourself
and up. Don't blow yourself up or catch anything on fire. But yeah, make explosions. Watch explosions. And as always, thanks for listening. Leave us a rating and review. And until next time, we are out.